Hey, if you brought your Bibles here, turn to John chapter 14, if you would, with me. When I shared 2 weeks ago concerning what God spoke to me supernaturally, gave me that message concerning we've got to come alive, we've got to be alive, and we've got to stay alive, which simply means we got to awake to righteousness and sin not. And simply three things along that line. Number one, we got to be strengthened. We got to awake to strength. We got to be strong in the Spirit of God, which means we've got to strengthen our spirit, which means we got to feed our spirit, which is the way you feed your spirits with the Word of God and the presence of God. Amen. Prayer and fellowship, we build ourselves up on our most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost, things like that. But in one of the scriptures there in Isaiah, it says, also the second thing he says is that we need to know his name and what it means. I like the Amplified because that's what it says. It says that we need to know his name. They'll know my name and what it means. It's amazing how many people know the name of Jesus. How many people talk about it? They say about it. People use it as a cuss word. They don't really. Everybody knows. Oh yeah, Jesus. Oh yeah, Jesus. Oh yeah, Jesus. And the problem is that there's no other name given among men whereby we can be saved. Amen. That's Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says. That's why that name is so reverent. And now, and all of us here, we all know people. There are other people called Jesus here in the world. They're called Jesus. How do you know? Are they different names? Joshua and the other names that are given. You say, well, they look at those names. Yeah, but those names were not God-breathed and God-given. Yes. Even though they were given to them. But God said his name's going to be Jesus. God said his name was going to be Emmanuel. Yes. Do you know that every word in this Bible, you know, except for the crazy names in here, is in the Webster Dictionary. Amen. All of these words are in there, but that doesn't make the Webster's Dictionary anointed. What makes the Bible anointed? Because God said it. God breathed it. It's God's word in his mouth that breathed it out. That's why the word of God, that's why things that have been said by the Spirit of God prophesied, you know, Paul told Timothy by the prophecies that have gone before you that you might war a good warfare. Amen. You know, to stir up the gifts of God. Amen. And Brother Dale, that's what God's called him to do, as you know. I mean, that's, you know, as I told you, he was really incredibly receptive, and what God, you know, and I watched him, he just receives, and God's just done supernatural things in his life. And but it's funny because before he left, he gave me, you know, four or five prophecies that I've already had before that was from Brother Hagin. But he gave one from 1997, which was the one up at Phil Godot's, which Pastor Hagin's going to be at Phil Godot's next Wednesday night. He's actually going to be there ministering and stuff Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But anyways, Brother Hagin went there in 97 and did a whole meeting there and began to prophesy things. That's where he prophesied over me. You know, I have on my wall says that he'd given. He said, Brother Butler, this is for you. God's going to give you the tongue, you know, of a ready writer. That's your tongue of the pen of a ready writer and anointed and preaching and getting to speak as somebody that has never before spoken. And he said, you know, it's really cool. So, you know, to receive and to do and to hear. But he also said a bunch of other things there too, which just were pretty cool to say. And then, like I said, he gave me different things that have benefited to him. Of course, I was in every one of those meetings that he gave me. And I didn't have these prophecies have been copied off of the cassette tapes and then hand, you know, typed out. And just what it does is it just stirs your heart to know what we need to be into, what we should have. Amen. And it's not going by, oh, we're looking at this man or looking at this. No, we're looking at the Word of God that God spoke in a time in a supernatural way that changed the course of people's lives. Amen? But getting back to the name of Jesus, you know, we all know that name. We all have heard this. We know we're supposed to pray in that name. But one of the things that we need to grab a hold of is don't ever look at the Word of God and Scriptures as just, oh, that's just Scriptures and that's just the Word of God. If the Word of God, the Scriptures don't bring life to you, it's because you haven't had a revelation. And when you're not excited about it, then it has no penetration in you. You know, it has no effect. We were praying and we've been reading, you know, one of the books we read that, and we read books at night, different books just to, you know, just to bless each other and stuff. But we were reading I Believe in Visions by Brother Hagin one time. That's when we first were married. And she just come out of, because she said, that's just not fair. It's just not, how come he gets to see God and have visions 8 times? We don't even get to see him once. She said, I don't understand. And then we were reading about some other things, some other stuff. She said, I don't understand. So she said, you know, she started praying, and she was just praying, asking God about a lot of things. And the Lord began to share with her about things. He says, you know, the reason that they got a hold of these things and the reason that God was using them in these supernatural ways is because they had this incredible understanding of the authority that God has and the authority of the name of Jesus and the authority that God gave to us. Now, you can't have authority without reverence. Amen? How do you know in our world today, if you were to go places, if you know people and you have, it's like if you wanted to go just upon you're trying to get in someplace and it's like, who are you? We don't care. But all of a sudden, somebody of notoriety or somebody who is there or somebody who's all of a sudden walks up and says, hey, and they know you. How do you know everybody changes? All of a sudden, you somebody. When you was a nobody, but now because of who you know, you are somebody. Amen? Well, because of who you know the Lord Jesus Christ, because you made him as your Lord and Savior, you became a somebody. But it's an understanding of that authority and that power that changes your life. So when we talk about the power and the authority of Jesus' name, or we talk about that we need to not just know about his name, but we need to know what it means and what is behind it. Because we see that with the disciples. Wow. You remember in Luke chapter 10, we're going to get to John chapter 14, I promise, maybe. But here we go. Remember in Luke chapter 10, hallelujah, Luke chapter 10, he sends out the 70, right? Yeah, sends them out two by two, tell them to go out, don't go by yourself, go two by two. They come back and they're like, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Man, your name wiping everybody out. It's awesome. And of course, Jesus says, don't rejoice over that. He said, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. That's how fast Satan got kicked out of heaven. As fast as the lightning you got. And he got kicked out by the finger of God. And I believe it was his little finger. Okay. You know, he could have been this one, but that doesn't matter. Anyways, he was kicked out and he fell. He said, but don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Because what he was endeavoring to say is, listen, thank God, yeah, you've got authority here. But the reason you have authority is because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. You need to understand that. When you understand that you're Christian, that your relationship with God, and that he gave us his name. See, that's what he endeavored to share with the disciples. In John chapter 14, 15, and 16, we're going to see, you know, that's what he was endeavoring to do, because they're like, there's never been a man, never been this thing. And Jesus said some things too. He said, listen, guys, listen, right here in John chapter 14 and verse 12, he said this. He said, I tell you the truth. Amen. Of course, the King James says, verily, verily, which is truly, truly, I say unto you that he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works shall he do, because I go unto the Father. The New Living Translation says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Talking about verse 13, I didn't read it out of the King James. I'm going to read out of this one. He says, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. Now, I happen to love John 14, 12 through 14, because it makes every religious person just so frustrated. Because they hate that word anything. See, the King James says this, and whosoever or whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And you know, the wonderful thing about that anything is anything. If you can believe it, you can receive it. Jesus told that to the man that brought his son, that the disciples couldn't cast the devil out. Jesus, you know, the man says, listen, the man said to Jesus, Jesus, if you can do something, help me. Jesus said, what do you mean if I can do something? If you can believe something, I can help you. He said, all things are possible to him who believes. And the man said, hey, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And Jesus helped him and set his son free. But he said, all things are possible to him that believes. See, the problem is that how much do you believe in the name of Jesus? How much power do you think is there? And it's like, what does it really mean? What did God do? What did God do with Jesus when he defeated the enemy? What did Jesus do when he died on the cross? What did Jesus do when he went and he defeated Satan and took the keys of Hades and of death, the Bible says in Revelation, hallelujah, 1:18. He took the keys and he stole them from him, and he was raised up from the dead. He was seated at the right hand of the Father. He turned around and gave all authority to you and I. He said, all authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now I'm going to give it to you, and you go. You go what? In my name. He said, the works that I do, you're going to do also. His disciples are like, that's why Peter in Acts chapter 3, he's walking, and the guy that's, you know, laid at this gate, he's been laid at this gate every single day of his life for 40 years. Jesus walked by this guy, never one time told him to be healed. Come on. They say he's been laying there for, you know, because he's over, he'd been laying there since 40, never walked. Never. He's been laying there begging. Peter and John are just trucking off. Suddenly, Peter looks over and goes, hey, this ought to be a good time. No, Peter was led by the Spirit. He looks at the man and says, hey, silver and gold, Evan. The man's like, hey, what are you going to get? He said, I'm not going to give you silver and gold, but what I have, such as I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. And he reached down and grabbed the guy and said, come on, get up and let's go to church together. And then the man leaped up and was walking and leaping and praising God. I'm pretty sure he had never walked a day in his life. I'm pretty sure he didn't really know how to walk on these new legs. That's why he was kind of like, oh, wow, what's going on here? Woohoo! Yeah, you'd be leaping and you'd be like, hey, I got to know how to do this. Come on. You know, because if you've never done it, how are you going to do it? Amen? We see this, and we see this in the Word of God, and we go, wow, wow. But yet, Jesus prays in John chapter 17. He said, I'm not just praying for my disciples. I'm not just praying for these guys. I'm praying for every person that believes on their word. Be it unto me according to my faith. Be it unto me such as I have. See, the problem is we don't think we have. Amen. That's why the Bible says they that have turned the world upside down have come hither. These 12 men turned the world because they had been with Jesus. They knew that they got that authority, that power, and they took hold of it. Amen. Now you're there in John chapter 14. Go over to John chapter 16. What I want to do is I just want to stir you up. I want to get you off of a religious action. Say, yeah, I don't want to, you know, I don't think he really meant anything. Anything. You know, people get caught up with all kinds of stuff because the devil does not want you to understand your authority. He doesn't want you to understand the power of the name of Jesus. And I've seen that name be so powerful. I've seen the name of Jesus just do supernatural things. Thank God, hallelujah, for that. We stand your ground, hallelujah, and let the power and the presence of God. Amen. And we're going to get back to seeing those things here, but you got to have reverence. Amen. You know, I'm gonna tell you a little story. This happened way back, I mean, 1978. Okay, you know, and we're all excited because the charismatic move is going, and God's just doing. I mean, it's wild. Everybody's just goofy because we're all coming out of the Baptist, the Presbyterian, the Methodist. Everybody's getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Catholics. I mean, you got all these people coming together, all kinds of different beliefs, and you're coming together, and you got different people preaching and ministering, and you got people getting up and going. And you got people who are, you know, that are got authority, and they're like saying, "Hey, do this." And so, I was in a meeting there, and this guy, the minister, he rebukes this guy in the name of Jesus, and the guy's, you know, falls down, gets delivered. And so everybody thinks, man, I can do that. So another person comes in that's, you know, not sanctified, not saved, not, and he comes in. And so this guy jumps up and says, Mama, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And that guy just laid him out. Just knocked him cold. And I thought, oh, bless your heart. Because he did what the seven sons of Sceva did. Amen. You know, when they found the devil, they said, hey, we adjure you by Jesus of whom Paul preaches. You got to come out. And the devil looks at him and says, well, Jesus I know and Paul I know. Who are you? And he jumps on him and beats him up, takes the clothes off, sends him out. You say, whoa, that wasn't right. That guy was trying to, he was just trying to do what he was taught. Listen, It's not doing what you were taught. It's doing what you catch. You can't teach it. You got to catch it. You got to get. It's got to be caught. Spirit of faith cannot be taught. It's got to be caught. Okay. What it means is you got to believe this. You've got to stand your ground. Hallelujah. You got to believe that what God's word says and the power of that and stand up. Yes, when God tells you to do it. You don't stand up thinking, man, I sure hope Brother Hagin's right. I sure hope Kenneth Copeland was right. I sure hope Fred Price was right. I'm sure hoping Charles Capp was right. I'm sure hoping this was right. I'm sure hoping this person. You know, when Jesus was facing the devil, he didn't say, Brother Rabbi said this. No, he said, it is written. He knew what it was written. He knew what he could stand on. You got to know the word of God for yourself, and you got to believe in that name. Amen? Amen. You got to stand on that. So we have as much of God as we want. Amen. And we receive what God has, and we act in accordance to what God's written. People get real nice. Well, you're just saying I can, yeah. Be it unto you according to your faith of what you can you believe. I mean, John 14 says, if you ask anything. Now let's look at John 16. Okay, look at verse 23. All right. He said, and in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Jesus said that. That's in red letters. The New Living Translation says, and at that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant you your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. Doesn't sound like, well, you might get it. It may be a no. It may be a maybe. Now, we know what Paul began to share and get things to understand that we ask amiss, that we begin to do all this. How many of you know that faith will cause you to trust? But your brain's going to cause you to doubt. Amen? And what happens is that we have to learn unbelief. How many of you know that kids, if you don't teach them the unbelief, and if you don't teach them to doubt and everything else, you can turn around and tell them, guess what? Glory, behind this wall is Barnum and Bailey Circus. I mean, we got elephants, lions, and tigers. We got clowns. I mean, we got flying trapeze. I'm telling you, we got everything in there. And man, you should see it. And well, just in a few minutes, we're going to be heading back into here, and you are going to have the time of your life. As you can see, I was a children's minister. I know how to do that. I can keep them all there. Amen. And get them ready. And they'll believe it. You and I know that the offices are back there. You know, we have a tendency, and that's what happens. We've allowed what has transpired in our life and our disappointments to stop us from believing what God's word says and the power. Just because you haven't experienced what you're supposed to experience, what the word of God says you should experience, doesn't mean that it's not real. You say, well, you're putting all the pressure on me. No, I'm putting all the pressure on the word of God if you'll believe it. Amen. Amen? Why? Because Philippians chapter 2, Paul said this, verse 5, what did he say? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Well, wait a minute. How did Jesus think? Did Jesus go around thinking, I wonder if God's going to hear me? He said, I don't say anything I don't hear the Father say, and I don't do anything I don't see the Father do. Now, that separates all of us, okay? And because of what transpired. And it goes on to say that he emptied himself, you know. He put himself on of no reputation. He emptied himself, and he took upon himself the form of a servant, even to the death and the obedience of the cross. And then when God saw all that, God highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every tongue's going to confess and every knee's going to bow. Hallelujah. And that name that's above every name. And he raised them up and seated them at the right hand of the Father. Amen. And he raised us up together with him to take hold of the truths of the word of God. It's like, hey, wow, look at this. Look at this. Isn't that incredible? I mean, what about John? Look, go to John chapter 4 and verse 17. Y'all doing okay? Because I'm just preaching. I'm having fun. Hallelujah. 1 John. 1 John. Go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. How's that? That's even better. John 4, 17 is pretty good too, but hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. He said, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment," or the day of crisis. "Because as he," Jesus, "is, so are we in this world." As Jesus is, so are you in this world. Now, you want to get really, people going to get religious folks really mad at you? You just tell them, "I'm Jesus's representative. I am of God. I'm a man of God." 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children." You're of God, little children. "And have overcome them." Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You're of God. You're a representative. We are ambassadors. We are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are here in his place. We're the church. We're the body of Christ. We're here to operate and to work and to do his will on the earth. We're here to proclaim truths from the word of God. I mean, what did the religious rulers, what did they get really mad at there? You know, over in Luke chapter 5, when he's there and the Bible says the power of God is present to heal. It's present to heal. I mean, the Pharisees are there, the lawyers are there, the Sadducees, everybody's there, you know. And these people, guys, four guys come and say, "Man, we can't get them in. Let's go up on the roof. Let's rip the roof off. And let's tear the roof off. Let's lower this sucker down, right down on top of them." I mean, how many of you have that much faith and belief to do that? I mean, come on. You're thinking, well, they had these kind of roofs. They had the... Come on. You guys would not even try to knock on the door. Well, it's too busy. You can't get in. They rip it off, lower them down, put them in there. What does Jesus do? He says, "Hey, your sins are forgiven." Whoa, baby. Who can forgive sins but God alone? He's blaspheming. Man, everybody got to get quiet. We got... Jesus is like, "Okay, you tell me what's easier. To say your sins are forgiven or rise up and walk." He said, "It's the same." He said, "Hey," he said, "but you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Amen. Boom. He said, "Rise up and walk." Man gets up. Hey, he goes, he saw their faith. But you know, there's other scriptures that tells us that we have the power to tell people when they make Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives based on the power of the word of God and what Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven. Because you accepted Jesus. You're washed white as snow." I can tell you that by the authority of the word of God and the power of God. God gave me because I'm his ambassador. Amen. He said, "Well, who?" He said, told us. He said, "Whose sins you remit, they're remitted. Whose sins you say they're not, they're not." Well, who makes you God? I'm not God. But based on the word of God says, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you refuse to accept him as your Lord and Savior and you deny him, I can, on the authority of the word of God, say, guess what? You're not going to make heaven. Y'all got nervous on that. And that's why we don't have authority and power to cast out devils. Go to Mark chapter 16. Amen. I know you guys know all these scriptures, but it's so fun just to put them all together for you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. They said, "Well, why do we need to?" Because when you know the power and the authority of the name of Jesus, man, you can take authority over the enemy. You can walk fearlessly. Yes. Fearlessly. Amen. Amen. But you got to know that. I learned this a long time ago when I was growing up. I learned this from my grandfather. You know, my grandfather, he was called Shorty Wishon because he was a short guy. All right. His last name was Wishon because he was Cherokee Indian. But he was half Cherokee Indian and he was half Jew. And anyways, that's my heritage in a lot of ways. So it's an interesting thing. But he understood the power and the authority of Jesus' name. And I was, as a child, and as we go visit him all the time, but then I remember I went and go visit him as a teenager too, and we'd be praying. And if you didn't end the prayer in Jesus' name, the head did not raise up, the hands did not get let go. I mean, he was very serious in that. And, you know, and he told me, he said, "Listen, He said, there's only that one name, and there's power in that name, and you got to believe that name. Now, he never got filled with the Holy Ghost, but he loved to go politicking. He lived in a small town, and he came against, they were trying to, you know, Indians and everything, so they were trying to put a casino in there, and they were trying to do all this stuff. And so he'd been the gas station owner of the Texaco gas station for 50 years, and so he never ran for office, but everybody in town knew him. Okay, I mean, everybody knew who he was. He had the station right on the lake, and so everything was there. And so he was always going out talking, and you know, so he was causing everybody a lot of problems, stopping people from making money. And so he told my Grammy, called her Grammy, and he said, Grammy, I'm going out to do this. He said, okay. So he goes out to start talking, and he starts talking, and these two guys come running at him. They're like, going to beat him up. And he realizes it. And, you know, my grandfather was, he's a crazy Indian, okay? He's a pretty crazy guy. But he looked up at them, and they're running. He said, in the name of Jesus, you can't do anything. And the power of God hit those guys, and they couldn't move. And they couldn't move, so he walked up and said, now listen, now that I got your attention, let me tell you about Jesus. You know, and they start crying because they're not young guys. They're you know, a little bit, and they're like, and you could see, he said, yeah, they're just crying. He said, I'm just telling them, now listen, because they can't move. And they're all like, we're going to die. Because they know he's been there, and they know who he is, and, you know, he's got a reputation of not having a good, you know, he got a fuse. But he preaches the gospel to them. And the guy's like, and the one guy says, can I shake your hand? He said, yeah, in the name of Jesus, you can shake my hand so your hand can move. And the guy can move his hand, but that's all he can move. And then he let go. And he said, now listen, I'm gonna let you boys go in a minute here. And y'all can just go. You got this? And he did. He let them go naked. They got unfroze it and they left. Because you don't want to try to attack somebody who can make you frozen again. Amen. You know, and you know, you've heard my testimony too. He's the one, he's my grandfather that basically called everybody and said, I'm going home to Jesus today. Let's get everybody here. Let's get the sheriff, get the mortuary guy, get the pastor, get everybody over here. I want y'all to know I'm going home to Jesus. Y'all know that. Laid down on the couch and said, hey, goodbye. Opened up his mouth, spirit left, and everything was cool. So, awesome. That's the way I'm going. I'm going to tell everybody, hey, guess what? Today's my day at about 102. That's when I'll go, whatever it is, you know. But I'm just saying, the reason, but his authority, understanding this, and it just touched my heart. I remember all the time because he said, no, it's in the name of Jesus. You need to go. I mean, and everything was, it's in his name. We're doing everything in his name. We're going to do that in his name. We're not doing it in our own strength. We're going to do this in his, I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, and he taught me that power and that authority that it actually works. And boy, he put the fear of God about, you better pray that name. You better do this. You better have this. Amen. But look at here in Mark chapter 16, because this is where we know this. This is, you know, verse 15 says, and he said, and then go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned or shall be condemned. Verse 17 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen? And he goes on to talk about the word, but he says, in my name, we're going to do something. There's some signs that follow, because we believe that. You need to believe that. You need to believe that you have power and authority. Say, no, we're doing something. You can't do it. In the name of you, can't do it. Amen? Hallelujah. Because we have more authority and more power than we know we have, and we need to exercise it. Amen? Because we have a tendency to think, oh, we can just think, no, I have authority in that. I have authority over that area. I'm going to exercise authority over that. Glory to God. Amen? There's power. There's power in that. And that's why we study it. That's why we understand. You know, I mean, God gave Jesus his name. You know, he got it by bestowal. God bestowed it upon him. God called him those things. Or he got it by conquest. He defeated the enemy. He defeated the Satan and all those and beat him in that name. And that's why God gave him a name. That's why God raised them all up. Hallelujah. And gave him all authority. It was in that name. And that's why the disciples in the book of Acts baptized in the name of Jesus. And then everybody got caught up in, well, there's no Trinity. They're doing Jesus. They're doing this. It's like, no. They were baptizing Jews, who already believed in God, that had the same God, they just didn't believe in Christ. Amen? I mean, and that's the thing about it. When you understand what he got and how he got his name, but also that there's so much power and authority, so that when you know that you've got that and you've had that, you're not afraid of anything. Amen? I mean, he inherited that name. That name was bestowed upon him, and he defeated the enemy, and he got it. How did it? By conquest. God gave him a name that was highly and lifted it up. Said, hey, at that name, every knee's going to bow. At that name, we can be saved. That's what makes it so incredibly powerful for you and I. Amen? That he gave him a name that's above every name. Hallelujah. And then how much authority? Well, all of heaven's authority. God's the one that's behind his word, and God's the one that's behind his name. Amen? What an amazing feat that we have. What an amazing joy that we have. I mean, when we look at this, we kind of go, wow, God did this. And then Jesus turned around and gave all of his authority, all of his power to you and me. Amen? We look at that and we kind of go, wow. I love Mark 16. We all have heard it. We say, well, that's the Great Commission. We need to go do that. But how many people go out and they're afraid of the enemy? Well, you can't do that. Nope, you can't. We're going to tell you you can't. Say, what do you mean you're going to tell me you can't? You have no authority to stop the power and the word of God. You can't stop the word. You're not going to stop me from speaking and declaring and saying what God's word says. Hallelujah. You might take away a lot of things, but you can't take away. I'm going to continue to declare and to speak. Hallelujah. And let God be God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because that's who it is. I mean, thank God for that. Hallelujah. And we see that. He gave him a name that's above every name. And see, that's why you can say all kinds of names in the world today. You can say all kinds. But when you start declaring Jesus, now you can say, you know, Jesus Christ as a curse word and just do things, you know, after you hit your thumb or do something like that and just say it, nobody's going to even bother you at all. But when you declare his name, when you talk about praying in that name, and when you talk about the power of that name, and you're not ashamed of that name, hallelujah. Now, you're not going out and just pushing things off on folks or doing things, but what you are doing, hallelujah, is realizing, man, hallelujah, that God is awesome. Now, I wonder if, you know, you don't have to go there, but I'm going to read you Matthew 16, verses 17 to 19 out of the Message Bible. I like that because this kind of helps us with the authority. Because, well, I know Jesus' name and I've accepted Jesus, but it doesn't seem, you know. You got me being like that little guy who's thinking, man, I think, oh, it's really good. I got the name of Jesus. I can go around just saying Jesus' name and nobody's going to bother me. Not if you don't know your power and authority, you're going to be in trouble. Amen? But here's what Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, out of the Message Bible says this. Jesus came back and he said, God bless you, Simon. This is after Peter, you know, Simon says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen? And so what does he say? He said, Jesus comes back and he said, hey, God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself let you in on this secret of who I really am. Amen. And now I'm going to tell you who you really are. He goes, you are Peter, a rock. That is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth. You know, earth and heaven. Yes on earth. And a yes on earth is a yes in heaven. And a no on earth is a no in heaven. Now, people get really nervous about that, too, because they think, oh, my gosh, what do you mean? You can't? It's got to already, because if you look up the Amplified Bible, it'll say it already has to be a yes in heaven. It already has to be a no, because it wants to try to adjust everything. It's not talking about the third heaven. Not talking. There's nothing wrong with that where Jesus and God are at, okay? There ain't no sin there. There's no disagreement there. How many of you know that everybody in heaven knows they're like Jesus now? They know like Jesus knows. They're like, wow, whoa, glory. This is awesome. There's nobody going up there, man. Can't believe they gave me this part over here. How come I'm over here in this corner? Okay? There's nobody saying, you know, we have these songs that just give me a, build me a cabin over in the corner of Glory Land. There ain't no cabins in Glory Land. They're just glorious, okay? There's nobody up there going, wow, can't believe, is this what it's all about? Okay? No, I'm sorry. It's awesome. Okay? You guys understand that, right? So there's not that. So that's not what he's talking about. It's talking about the atmospheric heaven where the spiritual realm is, where there's enemy, where there's demons and ungodly things. Glory to God. When I say, hey, it's got to come, it's got to come. You know, when I say yes, that means the windows of heaven are open so that God can do. Amen. Because of what the word of God says. It's amazing, amazing what people want. They just get caught up into these things. Well, you're just trying to give us too much. I don't think we can go too far. I don't think you can. I don't think we've gone far enough. You know, we read in books about all these guys of what they did, and you're just kind of going, man, wow. We read the book of Acts, the disciples. We read Paul. I mean, how many of you, you've been shipwrecked, you're in the water a day and a night, you finally get on shore where God's already told you, you got to go here. He's like, yeah, God, but how come we couldn't just go there, get off the boat, you know, let the boat sink without us having to sink out here, having to sit here day and a night, having to get here, and then we get here, we got to build a fire, do everything, and then while we're doing it, then a snake bites me. Don't you just love how God sets everything up? It's not the way you wanted to set up. You know, I mean, Paul already took over the ship. He's thinking, hey, I got this. I'm in charge now. All of a sudden, now he's here. Hey, guys, everybody get saved. And a snake bites him. Paul's like, shakes the snake off, throws it in the fire. Doesn't even bother him. He doesn't even think about it. He's not thinking anything about it. Everybody else is watching. See, oh, he must have been a prisoner. And look at that. He escaped the shipwreck, but God got him. God got him now. Got a snake, got him. Oh. Most of us, we'd have given up at the shipwreck. Hanging out there 24 hours. Come on. He shakes it off, and they're waiting for him to die, and nothing's happening. He's just kind of getting warm. It's like, hey, it's cool. How you doing, buddy? It's all good. I'm all wet. I got to get warm here. And then all of a sudden, like, dude, he's a god. He's not going to die. Hey, come on, let's take you to the leader of the whole island, and let's get the whole island saved. Isn't God awesome? I mean, we don't, well, I wouldn't have done it. Well, I know, you wouldn't have done that because that'd be too hard. That would have been too uncomfortable. You'd have lost out on thinking, oh my gosh, they're throwing off my favorite chair. He said, we got to get everything off the ship. No, don't do that. Let somebody else die. Keep my chair. No, because we have this, Paul's got, he's no, hey, I gotta get to Rome. God said, I'm going to appear before Caesar. He already told him, hey, no, no, no. The God of who I belong to, the God of who I serve. He had an angel come by and talk to me. Tonight. He said, hey, this is what's going to happen. He said, Paul, don't be worried about it. You got to go before Caesar. I've got this handled. Listen, I'm going to give you everybody here. You just tell everybody this is what they got to do. So then he starts telling them, hey, he becomes the captain of the ship. But even though he's a captain. So we think, oh, God has turned the tide. Everything's going great. Man, the name of Jesus, he's working. It worked this time. And then all of a sudden, the ship fell apart. We're hanging. Hey, I thought you said we were going to, hey, just hang on. We're here. Ain't no sharks coming. We're good. I got a board. You got a board. I got a board. We're good. We're going to see that eye. We're going to get there. They get to the island. He's thinking, okay, now what God going to do? Boom. Snake comes out. Oh, wow. Doesn't he's like, hey, no worries. I got to get here. But he also said this. He said, not only did God tell me that I got to go before Caesar, he said, we've got to get on an island first because God wants to save a whole island before he takes me there. Isn't that awesome? And you thought all the problems in your life. It's like, oh my God. God's saying, hey, no, I got you over here because we got to do this. I got you over here. Yeah, we're going from one mess to the next mess to the next mess. Hallelujah. But glory to God, those messes are going to turn into something awesome. People are going to write about your life. They're going to write about your testimony. Amen? Because you're going to take hold of the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And we've got that right. We've got, why? Because we are born again. When we accepted, we had to believe on that name. And that name, hallelujah, changed our lives. Amen? It changed us. See, it's no longer me, but it's me in Christ Jesus. And that helped me. That helped me immensely. When I realized that it's no longer Mark Butler, but it's Mark Butler in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. That's the power, the presence of God. That changes everything. I don't do things in my own strength. I don't do things in my own mind. God, I belong to you. So you're going to help me. You're going to do this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then you realize who's behind the name of Jesus? Who gave Jesus his name? Who's put all that power behind that name? Who is the person that says, I am behind this? Who is that person? Father God, come on, got one person. Thank you. Hallelujah. I'll just think, I don't know. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? If Jesus was just the one, what a power. But God the Father, he said, hey, that's my son. That's the name. That name. There's no other name. That name. Boom. At that name, man, God's behind it. The God, the dude that created everything, right? I mean, he did. Hallelujah. Amen? All right, go to Acts chapter 3 and we'll close on this, I think. All right, we will. We will, because I'm going to get you out of here. I'm a good pastor here, so hallelujah. And I've preached me happy, so I'm good. And if I go into the next notes, we will be here for a while. Amen? I love this story. I just love this, because guess what? Such as he has, such as you have. Amen. Now look at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, that being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And it says, who seeing Peter and John going into the temple and asking alms, he said, hey, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which had sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened. Now, we know, as we read later on, they get called on the carpet because of this. And then, of course, the parents get called in, and they say, hey, he's over 40. He can do it. He's good. Tell him. That's why we know he was there for 40 years. But jump down to the 16th verse. Man, listen, if you don't get anything, hit your neighbor and say, this is your verse tonight. This is the verse right here, okay? The 16th verse is this. And he looked at them and says, wait a minute, guys. Let me tell you how this happened here. Verse 16, he says, and his name, the name of Jesus, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. It was Peter's faith and the man's faith to believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It was faith in what? Faith in his name. Amen. So how much faith do you have in the name? You got to have faith in that name in prayer. John chapter 16, 23 and 24. You need to have faith in that name just to ask. John 14, 13 and 14. Verse 12 is really good, because that's the works you should be doing. Amen. You ought to have faith in that name for healing. Mark 16. Amen. 17 and 18 there. 19 talks about, you know, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. You'll have that there. You see that? You see that in Acts chapter 4. How do they have faith in that name for the power of God? See, it's that name. It's not you. It's not you. Thank God for who you is, but it's because who you belong to. Amen. Such as I have, give I thee. As Jesus is, so am I. So when the problem is in front of you, when the sick person is in front of you, when the demon possessed is in front of you, when the oppressed, when the situation is in front of you, you're like, woof, that's what I got the name for. Because it's not in my might. It's not in my power. But it's in his power, and it's in his name. That's what God anointed us for. to use his name in every situation. We're going to speak the name of Jesus. I speak the name of Jesus over my family. I speak the name of Jesus over the mountain. Speak the name of Jesus over the situation. We speak that name. That name. What does it mean? It means glory to God. It's my family name. It means that there's all power in heaven, earth, and divine. And Jesus said you can use it anytime you want to. Anytime you want to. You got to believe that it has power. You got to believe that when you declare the word of God and you sign, seal it with the name of Jesus, things happen. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Okay. Yeah. Hey. Hallelujah. Father, we honor you. We just thank you. Thank you for all those that are here, all those that are watching. Lord, thank you for the word. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the name. That name that's above every name. Father, you said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, you said there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we can be saved. That's why we have to believe on the name of Jesus to be born again, to make Jesus the Lord of our lives. You know, that's what it's all about. But once we make Jesus the Lord of our lives, he has given us that name to defeat the enemy. He has given us that name to cast out devils. Hallelujah, to speak with new tongues. How to just take authority over all the power of the enemy and everything that the enemy tries to do. He's given us that name to lay hands on the sick and to see him recover. But Father, the greatest gift of all is salvation. Father, you can go to heaven poor. You can go to heaven sick. You can go to heaven, you know, being oppressed, depressed, all kinds of things. But you cannot go to heaven without believing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. So that's why we always declare and we always, you know, speak forth and say, if there's anyone that needs to make Jesus the Lord of their lives, it's not knowing about him. It's not knowing of him. It's not knowing, but it's like receiving him. And what does this name mean to me? What does it mean to me? Amen. So as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I'm not going to think that you are, because we've got to give an opportunity. Because when you get to heaven, and you say, well, nobody told me. God's going to replay this tape. He's going to replay and say, that guy told you. He asked you if you wanted to get born again. He asked you if you wanted to receive me as your Lord and Savior. He asked you if you wanted to live eternally with me. And that's what I'm asking you. I'm not asking you to join any churches. I'm asking, do you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life? And if that's you, say, that's me. Just raise your hand. Let's pray. Let's get this. It's very simple. It's easy. I see that hand. Yes. Amen. It's important. It is to know and to believe. It's not hard. Amen? It isn't. It's awesome. Because you want to make sure. Amen? Amen? You really do. So let's say this together. And it's the prayer that you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. God does great things. That's all you got to do. You say, it seems so simple. It should be harder. I remember I had a young lady. I led her into the Lord. She said, it just seems so, it's too easy. It's too easy. I said, that's why. It's easy to come to God. And it's really easy to live if you give your life to him. If you really, truly do, hallelujah, he'll help you in every aspect. But the Bible says, if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth, we shall be saved. So we're going to do that right now. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. Lord Jesus, I call you Lord because I make you my Savior and my Lord by declaring your Lordship. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth. And so I'm born again right now. I'm going to make heaven and I'm going to miss hell. According to your word, according to what your word says, if I call upon your name, the name of Jesus, I will be saved. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me from all my sins. Yes, he forgives you. He washes you white as snow. Thank you, Father. I'm a new creature, a new creation. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you. Father, when you touch our hearts, when you touch us to do things, supernaturally things take place. Father, I thank you for this one that raised their hand and said, hey, you know what? I want to make this. I want to let God know. Because we've all done that before. Father, and many of us have done it many times over. Just say, Lord, I want to make sure one more time. Father, thank you. But not only for here, but for all out there, that Lord, we desire. Let us have the power of the name of Jesus that will help us to walk in the ways that we need to walk. Lord, we honor you for that. We thank you for it now. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen and amen.